actual opulence is my own nature as the personality of Godhead, through which I exhibit the six unlimited opulences. The supreme gain in life is devotional service unto me, and actual education is nullifying the false perception of duality within the soul. Real modesty is to be disgusted with improper activities, and beauty is to possess good qualities such as detachment. Real happiness is to transcend material happiness and unhappiness, and real misery is to be implicated in searching for sex pleasure. A wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from bondage, and a fool is one who identifies with his material body and mind. The real path in life is that which leads to me, and the wrong path is sense gratification, by which consciousness is bewildered. Actual heaven is the predominance of the mode of goodness, whereas hell is the predominance of ignorance. I am everyone's true friend, acting as the spiritual master of the entire universe, and one's home is the human body. My dear friend Uddhava, one who is enriched with good qualities is actually said to be rich, and one who is unsatisfied in life is actually poor. A wretched person is one who cannot control his senses, whereas one who is not attached to sense gratification is a real controller. One who attaches himself to sense gratification is the opposite, a slave. Thus, Uddhava, I have elucidated all of the matters about which you inquired. There is no need for a more elaborate description of these good and bad qualities, since to constantly see good and bad is itself a bad quality. The best quality is to transcend material good and evil. So that is the translation. And so now we'll speak the purport. And as we go through the purport, we can have a look at some of these qualities one by one. So first of all, Krishna says the Supreme Personality of Godhead is naturally full of six opulences, namely unlimited beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, strength and renunciation. Therefore, the greatest profit in life is to achieve personal loving service to the Lord, who is naturally the reservoir of all pleasure. So here in these verses, Lord Sri Krishna is speaking to his friend Uddhava. Krishna, of course, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who possesses all the transcendental qualities that we would expect to find in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna has all of those qualities in full. If we look at all of the there are many different gods, and sometimes people, you know, think that Lord Shiva is God, or sometimes people may think that Brahma is God, or, you know, this one or that one. Sometimes, you know, there are different yogis in India, and people may think that, you know, those yogis are God. But actually, if we analyze and look at all the different qualities that we should expect to find in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we find that only Krishna possesses all of those qualities in fullness. So we would expect to find in the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he is the wisest person of all. If someone cannot display omniscience, the power of being all-knowing, they cannot be accepted as God. So again, just to give an example, but although these things, you know, are quite common sense things, we still find that around the world people will accept someone as God who doesn't possess these qualities very well. Sometimes people appear to be in ignorance. They don't have even these six qualities minutely, let alone having even one of them full, let alone having all of these qualities in full. Previously there was Maya Baba. Has anyone heard of Maya Baba? Going back. Yeah? Who's heard of? That's Sai Baba. Yeah. Maya Baba was people in India considered him to be God. I think probably around the time Srila Prabhupada was here, just before that, people were following Maya Baba as God, and he took a vow of silence for about 10 years. For 10 years he never spoke, and he would just, if someone asked him a question, he would just write something briefly on a blackboard. But he actually, Srila Prabhupada noted that he died in a car accident. And Srila Prabhupada noted that he had no idea that he was going to have an accident. So how could he be God? He died unexpectedly and suddenly. It was a shock to everyone. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada pointed out, well, how can he be omniscient and all-knowing? He didn't know he was going to have a motor accident. It was an unexpected, untimely death. Everyone was shocked. It was not that he's predicted, in a few days' time, I will be gone, I will die like this, and what have you. There was nothing. It was a sudden shock to everyone, including himself. So, and yet, people are accepting this person as God. And don't put your fingers in the door. Okay. You want to come in and sit down, or you're just looking? So in this way, if we, here Krishna is saying that all the six opulences of wealth, knowledge, strength, renunciation, fame, beauty, he has all of those opulences fully. And therefore, no one has ever displayed those six opulences as fully as Lord Sri Krishna. So if we analyze the position of Lord Shiva, of Lord Narayan, Vishnu, so many different people, you will see that only Krishna can display these opulences in full, and therefore he is the supreme personality of Godhead, or the full manifestation of God. So therefore true wealth is actually the Lord's very own nature as the possessor of all opulences, Bhagavan. So he himself by his very nature is all wealth. And if someone can associate with the Supreme Lord and become very dear to the Lord through devotional service, then that person has the greatest gain. If someone's friend is very, very wealthy, or if you need to know something and you can ask your friend and he can answer anything. it's like they have a quiz game, you know, where you can win $1 million and you have the option, you can call a friend. If you don't have the, if you don't know the answer, you call a friend. So, because they usually call their friend, quite often their friend puts them wrong. But, see, here we can call a friend if you don't know, and that friend is Krishna. That everything you need to know, that is there. So, any knowledge you need, you know, wealth, anything, if your supreme friend is Krishna, then by devotional service to him, there is the greatest gain. Whereas, someone who has the disfavor of the Supreme Lord, you know, their gains can be, you know, very minute. You know, someone may think that they're making profit. So generally, you know, if we look around the world, most adults are in some sort of, you know, business where they're trying to, you know, make a profit. So at the end of the week they calculate, yes, I have made such and such a gain. But actually, the gain is so insignificant that it's not really a gain. actually an illusion. Just like, you know, if someone is in a business and if their gain is, you know, so minute, they're putting a huge amount of work and effort over many, many years to get, a small profit, you would really say that there's not much gain. You know, what is the gain? You know, so much energy, so much work, so much time, and you took so much time to educate yourself. You know, have you really made a gain? You know, if it's so small, so insignificant, is there really a gain? And you would say, no, you know, it is not worth it. But Krishna is saying that actually whatever gain we think that we're making, which is not a gain through devotional service to develop a relationship with the Supreme Lord, actually it's not really a gain. There's so much trouble, so many lives, so many births and deaths in the material world, that really for what we, the trouble we're taking for the little bit of profit, it is not really a gain. So then Krishna goes on to describe the real education means to give up the false idea that anything is separate from the Lord, the source of all potencies. And similarly, one should not falsely consider the individual soul to be separate, different or separate from the Supreme Soul. So again, on the question of education, you know, people spend thousands of dollars, you know, I think many courses these days, somewhere between $3 to $10, sometimes more, $1,000 per year in order to get a particular education in some field. So, you know, people consider that, yes, I have spent, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years in order to gain knowledge and education, I may have spent $20,000 or, you know, like that. And I consider, yes, now I am very, very well educated. But actually, if they have not understood the knowledge by which they see everything in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if one cannot do that, if one cannot see oneself and everything else within existence in relationship to the Supreme Lord, in other words, if one cannot see reality, because if we see things, if we cannot see something's relationship with the Supreme Lord, that means we're in ignorance. If we're in ignorance, it means we're in illusion. if we're in ignorance and illusion, we cannot say that we've been educated. So we can spend, but still, if we spend, $10,000-$20,000, and we have a certificate on the wall, people may say, "No, there's a certificate that proves that I'm educated and so much money and so much endeavor." But Krishna is pointing out that is not an education. Simply, that is a certificate that now you are a bigger ass than you were 3 or 4 years ago. That's a fact. People are very proud. Look at my certificate. And that someone is reading, "Oh, you are, this is your qualification." But if a devotee looked at that certificate, they may say otherwise. "Yes, this is a certificate that you have become a big ass. You become more and more implicated, more and more illusioned, bewildered, absorbed in the material energy, absorbed in the details of illusion." Yes, you are very expert in becoming absorbed in the details of illusion. Very well done. And you are very expert to never look at reality. That is. So, this is Krishna's statement. Actually, as we go through, these statements of Krishna, you'll see that literally Krishna is pointing out that everyone in this world, in fact, right throughout the universe, is existing on a complete platform of falsity. Because people are existing on a platform of falsity, there is no possibility of happiness or success. Relatively speaking, sometimes we may see someone and their life is very wretched. So sometimes you may see someone and their happiness is based upon the happiness that they derive from an addiction to drugs. And we may look at them and think, you are so illusioned, you have so little knowledge, you are so foolish, the basis of your life is just complete illusion. Or sometimes people, so many people these days are addicted to gambling. And they think that by this gambling, they think that somehow or another I will become happy. And everyone else is looking at them and thinking, "You'll never become happy by this gambling. You're destroying everything. The hard work from yourself and everyone surrounding you, whatever profit it is, you are destroying that. You're destroying everyone's life. You're destroying the... And anyone who is depending upon you, you're destroying their chances of happiness. And ultimately, what will happen is you'll become more and more entangled in a suffering situation." So people will look at them, if they're gambling, if their lives are based on, intoxication, or sometimes people are in a very abusive relationship, like this, and other people will look and think, you're so foolish, that the foundation of your life is based upon this complete illusion. So Krishna is saying that to all the so-called successful people in material existence, that they're actually in the same position. That from the viewpoint of the Supreme Lord, they're also just like the drug addicted persons, the persons addicted to abusive relationships, gambling, so many bad habits, so many vices. The successful people in this world, but from the position of the Supreme Lord, he is looking, there is not much difference. That, you know, from the relative position of what is good and bad, appears to be good and bad, successful and not successful in this world, there's not much difference from one who's actually in knowledge. Just like, you know, if you have two hobos and one of them has a penny and the other one doesn't. Right? So, yeah, one hobo is thinking, well, you know, I am so wealthy. You know, I have my penny and you have none. But, you know, there's so little difference in their situation. They're both homeless, they're both struggling, you know, every day is very austere, very, very difficult. But one has a penny, it's not going to make much difference. Okay? But Krishna is saying, if you take the so-called successful people in material world and they're comparing themselves to the so-called unsuccessful or unhappy people, he's saying this conception of good and bad you have, really there's not much difference. You're all in the same boat. What is that boat? That if someone is very, very wealthy, very knowledgeable, very attractive, very famous, when they suffer some bodily pain, they suffer bodily pain just as much as those who don't have the wealth, who don't have the knowledge, who don't have the beauty or the fame, right? My brother about a year older than me, he used to say to me when I was about 10, he would say that, you know, if everybody in this world realized that, you know, wealthy and famous people also have to go to the toilet, it would be a much happier place. You know, I used to think about this when I was 10. And when you think it's correct, you know, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, you still have to, you know, drag the material body, you know, to the toilet sometimes, you know, 7 times a day, and, you know, you still have to bathe the body because the body begins to smell, and, you know, whether you're old or, whether you're, you know, well-educated or not educated, you know, old age still, you know, attacks everyone with the same, you know, problems. So in this way, you know, Krishna is pointing out that from a relative position, one may appear to have gained, to become educated. If someone is educated and they can't solve these problems, and someone is not educated and they can't solve the problems of life, they're really in the same position. If someone has so much wealth and yet these same problems exist, what is their, you know, what is the use of that wealth? So in this way, these statements of Krishna are helping us not to, you know, view our situation in this world from the platform of, you know, what is good and bad from a material perspective. Because if we do that, where we remain in ignorance, or we cannot actually see real goodness and real happiness, because real goodness and real happiness is beyond looking at the relative good and bad of this world. So that's the difficulty. If we're searching after happiness and we're searching after what is good and auspicious and wonderful, we have to stop trying to find those things by looking at what is good and bad on the material conception, we actually have to look at those things from the spiritual perspective. That is how Krishna is. So we go through, we'll have a look at some of these. Mere bashfulness does not constitute modesty. One should spontaneously withdraw in disgust from sinful activities. Then one is actually modest or humble. So here again, you know, sometimes we see that some people who may be quite shy or bashful by nature, you know, can actually be very, very sinful. So, in other words, they've got a lot of guile, or, you know, they appear to be, you know, shy, a little bit, but, you know, they're actually very forward. You know, to be sinful, you actually have to be quite forward in your, you know, daring. Sort of, what are some of the other words synonymous with daring? Okay, who's there? Walking thesaurus. What are some of the words? What's that?
Bold,
yes, yeah. So that's sort of like the opposite of bashfulness, right? You know, someone may appear to be bashful, shy, but if they're really sinful, actually they're quite bold. You know, it takes a lot of boldness to be, you know, sinful. You know, you think, you know, should I do this? You really have to be quite bold and daring and audacious. Like that. But, you know, the person's nature, you may look at them, they may externally appear modest and, you know, shy. So think, you know, here Krishna is pointing out how things, if we look at things from a material perspective, in so many ways we become completely tricked. Just like we see that you know, those who profile you know, serial killers and you know, people like that, quite often one of the ways that such persons, because serial killers means that they have killed, they've gotten away with it, and they're able to do it again and again, sometimes dozens of times, and yet people can't catch them. Because everyone is expecting that there's some horrible monster, you know, of a person who looks terrible and ferocious, and they're looking for this person. And what they find out is that there's this very shy, unassuming, you know, nice looking person who sort of, you know, just, you know, the good neighbour next door. And no one's, you know, just this sort of, just this bashful, shy sort of a fella, nice guy. And they don't realise this person, he's a serial killer. Or she, sometimes it's a woman. So it's people, you know, Krishna is pointing out that practically everyone in this world is just living a complete lie. They're just in complete illusion. Completely befooled. They have some conception of what is good and bad, and it is completely wrong. Because it's a material conception. And in order to actually see things that are happening, one has to take the perspective of the Supreme Lord. We have to look at it from his position. In the same way that, you know, children have a perspective of what is good and bad. But every adult knows that, you know, we cannot, you know, let a child guide their life by what is their conception of good and bad. Can you imagine what a child would do? And so, You know, they would never get out of bed. And when they do, they go straight to the fridge and where all the sweets, you know, and a handful of butter, and, you know, and then wipe the hands, you know, all over here, you know, and just, you know, be dirty, and then just go out and play on the road and play ball, you know. A child's conception of what is good and bad within very short times is so much trouble, you know. And Krishna, who is the Supreme Father, he's saying, you know, like people in this world, they're like children spiritually, and they have a conception of good and bad, but it is completely wrong. You have to take the perspective of the Supreme Lord in order for you to have benefit in life. And then, so we go through just a couple more of these. It says, one who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness and thus does not seek material pleasure or suffer material unhappiness is considered to be actually situated in happiness. The most wretched person is one addicted to sex pleasure, and a wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from such material bondage. A fool is one who gives up his eternal friendship with Lord Krishna and instead identifies himself with his own temporary material body, mind, society, community and family. So here also, Krishna is pointing out that the platform of happiness, that generally, you know, a person who is can be satisfied in their Krishna consciousness. That is the platform of happiness, that a person understands, I'm not the material body, and therefore, there is no benefit in constantly trying to satisfy the demands of the material body. And I will engage in the service of the Supreme Lord and develop a loving relationship with the Supreme Lord by chanting his holy name, hearing his pastimes, hearing his instructions, trying to follow his instructions and return back to the spiritual world. A person who is satisfied with that, they're actually happy. A person who gives up that path of happiness and imagines that they're a material body, forgetting their eternal friendship, eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, and tries to seek out happiness in the material world, of which we know the number one pleasure for materialistic people is sex life, then ultimately those people, they can never be happy. And, you know, their activities are very, very foolish. If we see the life of a devotee, from the materialistic point of view, a materialist is thinking, you went to the temple, you had some prasadam, you sat and ate food with the devotees, and then you sit there in the temple and you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna for a couple of hours. You're not wearing the fashion clothes or the fashion haircuts, why you're wasting your time like this? We are going shopping in the latest shopping places and spending heaps of money, and we're wearing the best fashion clothes, and seeing all the latest movies, and going to the best restaurants, and we're traveling here and flying here and going there and going on this holiday and that holiday, and we have filled our house with so many different modern appliances and driving very nice car like this. So they materialistic people are looking at the devotees and thinking, you don't have any of these things. You know, so your life must be so unhappy. You must be, missing out on real happiness. You sit there. But what they don't see, of course, is that the devotee has a sense of satisfaction. Yes, I'm sitting here chanting Hare Krishna. I'm very satisfied. I'm very happy. I'm calling the names of God. Yes, I'm very satisfied, very happy. We are hearing in the association of devotees the message of Godhead, taking prasadam. We're dancing, we're celebrating different festivals. Very satisfied. And they are looking at the materialistic people and thinking, you have so many material desires to fulfill. Life is just a constant struggle. There's never any satisfaction. Not a moment's peace. That even though it doesn't matter how big the house is, how many appliances, how much money is in the bank, how nice the car, and so many things that are there, how much, sex life, or so many things are there. What is missing? That there's no satisfaction in the heart. Because the very nature of trying to satisfy material desires in the heart, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, means the material desire, it burns like fire. We have a desire in the heart, it just eats at you. And it just burns away. I must have this, like this, and it just pushes and burns. There's no sense of satisfaction that I have, I may have desires or I may not have material desires, but whatever the case, I'll sit here and I'll just chant Hare Krishna, chant the names of the Lord, associate the devotees. That sense of satisfaction and well-being is not there in the materialistic persons. The nature of sense gratification, of course, is that, as it describes, it burns like fire, which means that as we try to satisfy material desires, it agitates the mind and the heart. Right? So, if a person follows the path where they're trying to gain wealth. So if they work very, very hard and gain some wealth, say maybe they get $5,000, and then what happens is they will spend that, and then they will think, now I have a desire for another $5,000. It's not like people who are after money, they get wealth and they think, oh, gee, that was wonderful, I've got $5,000, worked very hard, and that's it for me now, for life. I'll just go through the rest of my life. I earned some money, spent that was great. No, it's, well, now I've got to get more, but having had $5,000, I realise now how foolish I was. I really need 10,000 to be happy. And then, so then, yes, okay, let's make a $10,000 plan, okay? So we'll work day and night and like this, and the kids can fend for themselves and what have you. And, so then we get $10,000, and then we think, yes, that was good, but, I realize that I'm still not satisfied, but if I double it, if I get $20,000 or at least $10,000 again, at least $8,500, something, then I can be satisfied. And it just actually agitates the mind. and the heart and the senses. There's never any, you know, you ask any wealthy person, and if you look at all the wealthy people, what are they doing? Look at all the wealthy people in the world. What are they doing? They're trying to earn more wealth. It doesn't matter whether they're millionaires, billionaires, squillionaires, or whatever. No, just, they are trying to get more money because they're not satisfied. You know? Just like Oprah Winfrey. She earns $245 million. I'm not sure whether it's an episode or a year. $245 million. So you think, you know, you imagine she's the wealthiest person in television, you know, that there is. So you think that's enough money. Right? Surely you've got to be able to be satisfied and happy. Now she has her plans now that she has to, she's doing some other show. You know, because there's not sufficient. How can that not be sufficient? How can even $1 million? So she will work like that until the day she dies. But, you know, those desires for wealth and fame, they just burn away at the heart so that there's never a point of satisfaction. So that's actually very sad. The nature of people in Kali Yuga is that they're always disturbed. The millionaires, the wealthy people are disturbed, the famous people are disturbed, always, constantly disturbed. And the heart is always burning with dissatisfaction. Everyone in Kali Yuga, the state of their heart, always dissatisfied. And it doesn't matter, you know, how successful they appear to be. They become well educated. At the end of that education, they're dissatisfied. The state of the heart. They become famous, they become wealthy, they become, you know, great sportsmen or what have you. And therefore you see that, because the nature of people in Kali Yuga is to be always dissatisfied, we see people who apparently should have everything that you require for happiness. It's like Tiger Woods. He's got a beautiful wife. He's a multi-millionaire. Famous. Loved and respected by everyone all over the world. Right? And yet there's not a trace of satisfaction in his heart. And therefore, with everything he has, there's children, a couple of beautiful, healthy children, everything, and there's not a speck of satisfaction. And he knows it. And therefore he has to look somewhere else. Where can I find satisfaction? Like the song of the Rolling Stones.